Lecture topic, message to the youth.
Innal hamdalillah. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وقال تعالى أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم حجبت النار بالشهوات وحجبت الجنة بالمكاره أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, the ayat kareema that I have recited before you, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى O Nabi of Allah, have you seen that person who has made his base desires his deity? In other words, his life is governed and dictated by the whims and the fancies of himself. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, under the commentary of this ayat, used to say, just as throughout the times and the ages, many images, many idols, many objects were worshipped, there also has remained a percentage of humanity who have chose to worship their base desires, who are not governed by any divine law, by any faith, by any religion, but rather follow their base desires. And if we look today into the world of entertainment, you will find this particular percentage is only gaining momentum. The nature of this nafs, as the Quran says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي The nature of the human ego is constant provocation towards evil. It constantly incites and provokes a person by evil. And furthermore, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if man wishes to single out his worst enemy, then rest assured it is his nafs. If man wishes out to isolate his worst enemy, it is his nafs. For what reason? Very beautifully explained in the hadith, that the more a person succumbs to the demands of this nafs, the greater the threat it poses, the greater the harm. There is nothing like enough in the vocabulary of a nafs. So a person might think that if I cast a nasty glance on this woman, perhaps it would satisfy the crave, the anxiety, the restlessness in me, only to know it aggravates it. And from that gaze, it becomes a physical, lustful gesture. And Allah forbid, it then translates into zina. A person might have financial problems and he sees a casino nearby. Tempted to go there, perhaps I can make some quick money, settle my debts. Only to know he becomes a compulsive gambler. So the nature of this nafs is that it constantly provokes a person. If we look around today with the youth day and youth awareness, and we look at the entertainment industry, it is safely said that America spends more money on entertainment than it spends on its military budget. And everybody knows what is the military budget and the military expenditure. You look at the life of a young child growing up in an American society, which unfortunately has become the role model for many youth across the globe. Safely, it has been said that 20% of the children growing up in America do not enjoy a 10-minute discussion with their parents in one entire month. The entire time, the mother, the father, the babysitter is the devil box. Hence, by the time the child reaches his teens, he has seen approximately 18,000 violent movies. This is the condition in which an average American sees 6 hours of TV daily. This is the life in which he is living. And if you look at the marketing strategy, today, the most vulnerable sector to this, of course, is the youth. The most vulnerable because the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says, "Ash-shababu shu'batun min al-junun," that when a person is going through his youth, he's in his prime, and everything is brimming in his life, his experience in adolescence, Nabi alayhi salam says he loses his sanity. He loses his sanity. So you are putting such options before a person who is not fully sober, who is not conscious, who is not fully aware of what is happening. A person, for example, is provoked by his ego for zina. Allah forbid and protect one and all. He barely exits from his house. The first billboard that meets what his eyes is, wanna flirt. This is the reality of what is happening. He has a provocation, a whisper, which is the devil. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, inciting him towards evil. As soon as he comes out, the first billboard that meets with his eyes is one of flirt. He drives a few kilometers ahead and he sees the picture of the most seductive, most attractive, most charming woman. Again, it just arouses and increases this evil in him. And he takes a little drive further, and then the next billboard reads, just do it. Just do it. I dare you. And these are the slogans on the t-shirts that our children crave to wear. Just do it. How many youth aren't they? Under the very pretext of just do it, they tried a pill, popped one pill, and have become addictive gambler, have become addicted towards drugs, and have become addicted towards intoxicants. Can we imagine, brothers, reflect over what I say, how addicted a society have we become towards evil, that the tobacco industry can boldly put billboards identifying the harms of cigarette, yet not fear a loss in sale? How addictive a society have we come? They will boldly print it out. It can create cancer, harmful to a pregnant woman. It will cause a deformed fetus. All this here, which are empty messages, yet they don't fear a drop in sales. How addictive have we become? We need them not to say, our Nabi said it 1400 years ago, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ فَصَدِّقُوهُ. If someone comes and tells you that a mountain has moved, tell the man, I believe you, it's possible. But if a person comes and tell you that young boy has abandoned his evil habit, tell him, I don't believe you. Nabi alayhi salam said, the moving of a mountain is more easier. So what has been happening around the atmosphere has been created conducive to appease this ego, to satisfy this ego. There is nothing like enough in the vocabulary of this ego. And these people have made this very ego their deity. Hence you find, never mind committing zina, never mind committing incest, they have now stooped so low, committing those acts which even the animal kingdom do not commit, which go against all human basic ethics and principles. And they have, you know, taken a stance and have become vocal in their parades. And this very thing has become the driving force and the determines direction in their life. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam says, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. Allah has surrounded Jahannam with things that are appealing to your nafs. And Allah has surrounded Jannat with things that are undesirable to your nafs. If you look at the entertainment industry that is only going more and more, it is everything that is appealing to the nafs. Just for the fun, just for the buzz, just for the thrill, just for the kick. And how many youth have gone in and have lost everything in this very crave? Let me just give you one example from the Quran, where Allah speaks about this very mentality which has been promoted on a large scale. Just to do it for the fun, for the thrill. You know, just to get the feeling out of it. We hear from those that are addicted, Allah save one and all. We don't want to understand its addiction. We don't want to comprehend, but we don't want to understand. But those that are addicts that come and relate to us, the incidents that the addiction goes to such extremes that our sisters have also sold their izzat to get that very pearl. And this is happening on a big scale. We all know about the incident when Sayyidina Musa went to meet Allah Ta'ala. And in that interim, he left Harun alayhi salatu wasalam in charge. There was a person who was known by Samiri, whose actual name was also Musa. But he was known by Samiri. The Quran makes reference to him using the word Samiri. He had some miraculous sand with him. And in the absence of Musa, it was this very person who initiated the worship of the calf. And he told them, هَذَا إِلَاهُكُمْ وَإِلَاهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي هَذَا إِلَاهُكُمْ وَإِلَاهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. Lo, this is your God and the God of Musa. Musa has made a mistake. He's gone to Mount Tur. Here lies his God. And people, you know, like is the nature of anything unusual, you know, but supernatural, and the masses will flock towards it. So they started worshipping the calf. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam returned, he first took his brother to task. And he said, يَبْنَ أُمَّ, oh my brother, what stopped you? What prevented you? Ya Harun, ma mana'aka idh ra'aytahum dhallu. You seen my nation worshiping the calf. You seen them deviating. Couldn't you use some force and divide them and stop this here? So Harun alayhi salatu was salam first calmed down Musa alayhi salam and he said, Yabna umma, la ta'khudh bi lihyati wa la bi ra'si. First hear me out, leave me, calm down, relax. And then I will tell you, I had one of two options. Either I wage war in Bani Israel, but I feared a permanent dissension and division. So I opted that rather in a passive and a diplomatic way I will engage them, and hence I did not use force against those who worshipped the calf. Musa alayhi salam was somehow convinced with the answer. Then he called the Samiri. Ya ma khatbuka ya Samiri? What got into you as a young boy? Why did you start the worship of the calf? So he used this very thing. Now you hear the backtracking messages of the music and the subtle sounds and whispers that come out. And these things that are ringing a message in the ear of the children. I mean, as I mentioned, today it is an absolute system of entertainment. I don't know much of journalism, but the little that I frown upon is, you're listening to a news caption, you're listening to a bulletin, and you hear about a tragedy that happened in Asia, and there's a massive earthquake, and it has claimed the lives of thousands of people. And then you hear about a plane crash, and then they're trying to locate the black box, and so many people are gone. And as you are becoming emotionally affected, and then they bring in the news wrap-up, or the sports wrap-up. And the sport wrap-up turns your whole emotions away, turns your sentiments away, and takes up the greater part. You're barely talking about lives that have been lost, tragedies, calamities, catastrophes, and then the sport wrap-up takes up 15 minutes. So when you end off that news, you don't end emotionally affected. It doesn't spark any sentiments into you, but rather you follow that news, and that is the last message that it leaves to you. Musa alayhi salam asked the Samiri, what is the matter? Why did you initiate the worship of the calf? He says it in one word of the Quran. What did he say? كَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. You know why I did this? Because I felt like doing it. Now you will hear this statement coming out. Don't underestimate that statement. It was this very statement that was brimming in this child. Now let me tell you who this child was. This very Samiri. I don't want to digress. This very Samiri who initiated the worship of the calf. And when Musa challenged him, why you did this? He said, I felt like doing it. Just for the fun of doing it. I wanted to do it. So I did it. This child grew up in the lap of Jibreel alayhi salam. This child grew up in the lap of Jibreel. He was born the very year that Musa was born, when Fir'aun had issued the decree of children to be killed. His mother feared the well-being of a child, so she took the child and she says, I cannot see my child being slaughtered in my hands. So she took her child and she left the child in a jungle. And Allah made divine arrangements that Jibreel used to come in the footnotes of Jalalain. This is written. Jibreel used to come and nurture this child and nourish that child. The child, and hence the poet says, فَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُونَ وَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُونَ. That no person should become complacent. Remember the Musa who grew up in the lap of Fir'aun, he became the prophet of Allah. And the Musa who grew up in the lap of Jibreel, he became the enemy of Allah. The Musa who grew up in the lap of Jibreel became, why? For the fun of doing it, for the buzz of doing it. I thought briefly, I run you through the youth that the Quran speaks about. Being Youth Day and Youth Awareness and whatever campaigns. Have you ever read about Ashab al-Kahf? If you haven't, let me run you through my thoughts. The Quran speaks about talented youth. And Allah says it so beautifully. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. Let me narrate to you in great detail and in absolute truth the reality of these young boys. Allahu Akbar. Allah goes on to say, we know they lived in the era after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, few centuries prior to the birth of Nabi alayhi salam. But they were practicing the teachings of Isa alayhi salam. Hence, they were true Christians in the true sense of the word, obeying Allah Ta'ala, living a life of upright nobility, and believing in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah goes on to say, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. The first thing how Allah introduces this chapter, they were youth in the prime of their life. We generally have a notion when someone speaks of a pious man, a learned person, a great scholar. Immediately the thought comes to our mind is a man who's aged, who's semi-blind, who can't walk properly, and he's someone on his right and someone on his left. Then he's a very, very pious, learned, respected person. Ya Allah speaks about the pious of the pious, the cream of his creation. And Allah says, fitya, they were youth. They were brimming in the youth. They were in the prime of their life. Amanu bi rabbihim, they brought iman on Allah. Wazidnahum huda. Allah says, then we multiplied them in their faith. There was a, get together there in the community, and they all were worshipping idols. So as these young boys coming from diverse backgrounds also came because they were part of the family, and as they observed the strange practices of their nation and the inner sentiments of truth, just had no choice but to frown on the practices of their community. And they realized that this is not the way we can go. Allah has made me a young boy. Allah has given me talent. I cannot channel my talent in the wrong way. So one of them withdraws and sneaks away from the gathering. And he takes shelter under a tree. But of course, he's marginal, he's one, he's singled out. And gradually the very sentiments of truth brings them together. So they all gather beneath a tree. But everyone is silent, no one is ready to take the courage to divulge the reason why he's here. After much silence, someone breaks the news and says, listen folks, we are here, all the other people are having a big party. Why are we here in our youth? Why aren't we going to party with them? So one of them takes the courage and he says, the Quran speaks about this here. You know, this is totally wrong. They are involved in so much sin, indulgence into vice and wrong. As a young boy, I cannot allow my youth to go in Allah's disobedience. When he says this, the others, they just amplify the same sound. And they say, these are the very reasons why we also abstain and we withdrew from our community. Very soon, the news started spreading amongst the people that there is a group of talented youth who have chose to oppose the message of their forefathers and who have violated the teachings of their king. And it started gaining momentum. These youth became a formidable group. The king summoned them, and hence the Quran says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَا. The king summons them. And they were part of a royal family. Scholars have written they lived an absolute luxurious life. As soon as they forsake and they had abandoned the culture of their people, which was incorrect, they were stripped of all privileges, all comforts, all luxuries. They were brought into the court of the king. Bearing in mind, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the noblest form of jihad is the proclamation of truth in front of a tyrant ruler. We find how ambiguous our speech becomes in front of our boss, never mind a tyrant ruler, because our job is at jeopardy. When we have to present a CV for a proposal, we know how fleshy we become, because we know otherwise we'll lose the proposal. So suddenly we start distorting the truth. Here it is absolute, being explicit and emphatic in front of a tyrant ruler, where the proclamation of truth was invitation to death and nothing else. So they stood before the king. The king openly asked them, who is your God, who is your deity? They said, Rabbuna Rabbu Samawati wal Ard. Nothing to fear. We tell you openly, our Lord, the Lord of the skies and the earth, and the very Lord that have created you, O king. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِيَةً. Here stands our nation that ascribe partners with Allah. Can they produce any evidence on these gods that they worship? And should they not produce, which they definitely cannot produce, then there are no greater liars than them. That includes you, O king. Now imagine the saying it in front of the king. When the king heard this, naturally he became enraged. And let me pause at this juncture and implore the youth that have gathered here. The price today, my brother and my young boy and my young sister, to preserve the deen of Allah is not to face a tyrant ruler. But yes, it is to utter the truth in the atmosphere of hostility. In your campus, where yesterday I spoke about it, Maghrib time, in that hadith, that the Nabi of Allah said, the one who will revive my teachings at a time when corruption will dominate, then for him is the reward of 100 martyrs. For the simple reason, scholars explain that when a martyr has presented his life for the promotion of Allah's deen, he's lost his life once, he's made a supreme sacrifice, but that marks his sacrifice. But a young boy reviving the beautiful teachings of Nabi alayhi salam, wearing his topi, keeping his beard, and my sister veiling herself, will become a victim to criticism every day. Hence, he or she will be martyred every day. Every time you put foot in your office, you'll be martyred. Every time you put foot in your campus, you will be martyred. Nabi alayhi salam says, revive one of my sunnats, and you enjoy the reward of 100 martyrs. So this is the call, and if today we will reflect the truth in this atmosphere of hostility, we hope from Allah he will give the youth of today the same reward he gave those people when they uttered the truth in front of the tyrant ruler. The king said, move from here. I give you 2 days and thereafter I will behead you if you do not return back to our faith. The Quran says these youths sat together, totally opposed by the entire environment. The odds are against them. They are few, they are marginal, they have absolutely nothing. How beautifully Allah speaks. I wish the youth of today can take our time and read the Quran. Instead of reading the most obscene magazines and seeing the most filthy pornographic movies and see what Allah sees, to arouse your sentiments, to relate to the youth of the past. وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. They gathered amongst themselves and they said, we have to make a quick move now. At no cost are we going to forsake our faith. We don't have the support of our families, never mind anyone else. So one of them suggested, why not we take shelter in some cave? Let's get in there and we will, you know, base ourselves there. And thereafter they said, يُهَيِّئْ لَكُم مِّنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. The question is food, the question is drinks, the question is our well-being. The answer was simple: when we separate on Allah's name, Allah will make arrangements. And hence the Quran says they then go into this cave and they hibernate, assuming that we'll go, we'll sleep and see what happens. As they get into this cave, these young people, today you are not asked to go into a cave. Yes, you are asked to avoid a party. You are asked to avoid a matric dance. You are asked to avoid this casino or that particular event. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ Allah speaks about the beloved servants, those who do not even attend any evil gathering. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا And when they pass by casinos, when they pass by clubs, when they pass by places of zina, then they pass by lowering their gaze and hastening their pace. That is the manner in which a believer, of course, a believer is one who will never attend such a place. But inevitably, you'll have to pass by certain evil places. The life in which we live, the exposure to which we have. How does a believer pass by? The Quran says, مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ كِرَامًا They pass by lowering their gaze, hastening their pace. They get into this particular cave, into the innermost part of the cave, for the pleasure of Allah. And they gave up a life of luxury. Now, look at how nature makes divine intervention for these youth. How Allah comes into the picture. The Quran then draws the picture. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ There are many people today, many youngsters, they pop up a pill and they wish to sleep. Now I'll tell you how nice sleep Allah gave these people. And divine sleep given to them by Allah. So they pop up a pill and they, you know, go into a high for a few days. And by the time they come back to sanity, they need to pop up another pill. This is what we are listening and we are hearing. Allah save our youth and the youth of the entire ummah. You would see, for example, a mother. When she puts her child off to sleep, then she becomes very possessive and she's very cautious about the sleep of her child. So what does she do? If the child sleeps in the day, she closes the curtains. And she pampers that child that the rays of the sun must not affect the sleep of my little child. Now let me tell you how Allah changed and altered His system. Allah altered the system of the sun to accommodate these youth in the prime of their life, not to disturb their sleep because they separated from their families on the name of Allah. The Quran says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ If you observed, O Nabi of Allah, when the sun, because it is either the early morning sun or the latter part, that is the strong rays, you know, if it hits your eyes and you get up, it can be rather disturbing as the rays, you know, goes through your gaze and it can be disturbing to your sleep. Allah says, you would have seen the sun. I made it such that as it would rise in the early part of the morning, the rays would avert the cave, go beyond the cave. And likewise in midday and towards the latter part when it would set, the gaze would go beyond the cave, not to disturb these youth who were sleeping for my pleasure. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ That's not all. Furthermore, Allah says, the divine arrangements Allah made to protect them, every need that a young boy has, Allah has accommodated of these youth. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ So many times today a young person comes out with wealth in his fleshy attitude, in his arrogance. Allah forbid somebody mugs him and everything is gone. These youngsters were sleeping. Look at the divine arrangements of protection Allah made for these youth. Allah says, you would assume them to be awake, yet they were in deep sleep. Scholars explain they slept with their eyes open. So nobody would dare come close to them. Nobody would dare come close to them. Furthermore, Allah says about these youth, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ That Allah would send the angels to toss and turn them. Now you had seen a woman when a child is 2 months or 3 months old, when the child cannot turn. Then she's in the kitchen and she runs, and then she ideally turns the posture of her child to accommodate that maybe his shoulder, his right shoulder is pain in his left shoulder. Allah used to send malaika to toss these people so that the insects of this earth must not feed on these bodies. Brothers, you and I know when we'll be lowered into our grave, that very person who today applies the best of deodorants and the best of fragrance, after 3 days open his grave, it gives off such a stench that you won't want to come close to that cemetery, never mind that grave. And the insects of the earth will feed on that body. But who were these youth that Allah made the angels turn them? Scholars write, so that not one insect could touch their body. And they slept not for a day, not for a month, not for a pill, but divinely Allah gave them sleep. For 3 centuries Allah gave them sleep. Peaceful sleep they slept. I'm running you very briefly through it. Allah says, لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا. If you had to perchance pass by the cave, there are different locations regarding this cave. One of this area has been mentioned in Jordan. When I was traveling in the Middle East, I had the opportunity to go to Jordan, and we were taken to the cave of the 7 sleepers. This is one of the points that the historians point out to, but there's difference of opinion of its precise location. But nonetheless, this place still stands there. It is very close. It's in Amman. It has the, you know, bought the cave of the 7 sleepers, and we did go and visit this particular site. Allah says, if you had to see it, you would be captured by awe. Never mind, after finally Allah Ta'ala gives them, Allah awakens them. Now look at the spirit of piety in them. As soon as Allah Ta'ala awakens them, they are tired, they start rubbing their eyes. One of them asks the other one, Kam labithtum? How long did we sleep? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Subhanallah, everything is in the control of Allah. This is divine ecstasy, not filthy ecstasy. This is divine ecstasy. So one of them says, I think we slept for a day. The other one says, no, I think it was half a day. And they're busy arguing. Then the other one says, you know what, leave it. Whether it was half a day or one day, the day is over. Take this money and go and buy some food. Can you imagine? I mean, we're hungry after one day. We're hungry after 300 years. Hungry after 3 centuries. And what does he say? فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى تَعَامًا. Whatever happens, make sure the food you bring is halal. Whatever happens, these are the words of the Quran. In fact, this marks the exact half of the Quran. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. In Surah Kahf, perhaps you observed it. And be cautious in your movements. Let them not locate you. That king passed, the time moved on, 3 centuries has lapsed. These people under the, you know, in their mindset, it's still the same king running in the same time. And he says, whatever it is, bring halal food. Today, how many youngsters? One youngster, I told him nicely, he sounds like a joke. I told him, bye. Never mind, I tell you the harms of drugs and the harms of cigarette. Why don't you read up the harms of drugs? He says, since I read the harms of drugs, I gave up reading. Since I read the harms of drugs, I gave up reading. This is what his answer was. So brothers, what I am saying is, they said that go and get halal food. Go and get halal food. And then Allah speaks about them. And the Quran discusses them. In fact, the Quran speaks about the dog that joined them. Wallah, this is my message to the youth. Allah has given you great talent. Allah speaks about, the hadith speaks about Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, who lived a life of absolute comfort. Kana a'tara ahli Makkah, the most charming young boy of Makkah. And when he accepted Islam, he gave up everything. One day he was walking in torn and tattered clothes. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and he couldn't hold his tears. He said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ مُصْعَبًا هَذَا بِمَكَّةِ وَمَا بِمَكَّةَ فَتَنْ أَنْعَمُ عِنْدَ أَبَوَيْهِ مِنْهُ لَقَدْ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. You know this boy Mus'ab, I remember when he was a non-Muslim. I remember when he grew up in the lap of comfort. I remember when young girls were dancing around him. I remember when every youngster took it his pride to be associated with him. Today he's dressing in such torn and tattered clothes. On the occasion of Uhud, he stood with the banner and he protected Nabi alayhi salam. And when the arrow hit him from the back, he collapsed. That is the time the Nabi of Allah came, gave him ghusl, and then lowered him, put his kafan on him, and the Nabi of Allah cried. And at that very time, Nabi alayhi salam said, there was a time that there wasn't a more well-dressed youth than him. Today there isn't sufficient cloth for him to cover his dead body. Nabi alayhi salam then made dua for him. And Nabi alayhi salam told the Sahaba, come and visit the grave of Mus'ab. Wallah, remember brothers, that was the leaders of this ummah. It is said that this ummah has forgotten its identity. We have become followers, study our history, and we were leaders. Since when have we stooped so low? Have we forgotten the talent that Allah has given us? I remember in my first visit when I went to the States, I gave a talk somewhere in Chicago, in California. One youngster came to me, spoke to me, who was totally off the path, and I spoke to him to change his life. I said it and it was gone. 5 years later, when I went back to the States, and in that very masjid, that young boy came to me, dressed in the sunnat libas. He came running to me, he hugged me, he embraced me. He said, Sheikh, I must tell you, that was the last day in my life. I gave up my wrong and I gave up my sin. And today I'm graduating as a scholar. I've studied in this institution. It brought such tears to me. I latch onto these little hopes and hope from my Creator that inshallah some person who takes to my message and changes the focus of his life and puts the right compass before him, maybe it can be a means of my salvation and the salvation of my teachers who have passed this beautiful deen onto me. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He make us conscious. Young have died, old have died, wealthy are going, poor are going. How many janazas didn't these eyes see? This place is becoming deserted. Go and see, the graveyard doesn't have place. When will our eyes open? What more do we need to permanently repent? Allah give us the reality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.